listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Well, we love the CarCast, and we love the best of the CarCast, and we love cars. We got a lot of good stuff coming in 2020. I'm talking about maybe doing some professional racing in Europe, do an event or two. I'll keep you guys posted on that. Of course, anywhere we go, we'll bring the crew and we'll film it, we'll document it, we'll get it, all the highs and the lows that come with auto racing, and I'll keep you abreast of all the projects. I'm working on so many cars now and so many projects and so much goods coming. So thanks for keeping up with us. First, betonline.ag. We've got the NFL Weekly Pick'em Charity Contest, everyone. Final week of the regular season. Big playoff implications. Visit betonline.ag. Take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Use the promo code PODCAST1 for a 50% sign-up bonus. Matchups, week 17, Chicago, Minnesota, Tennessee at Houston, San Fran at Seattle, Pittsburgh at Baltimore. You got the you got the Clippers and the Lakers on Christmas Day as well. Got $500 in rewards to give out each week to five listeners and a $5,000 season-long charity contest. Join the conversation, and you can do it by doing hashtag on Twitter, hashtag SportsNetChallenge. Use a promo code PODCAST1, receive a 50% sign-up bonus. Do it today. BetOnline.ag. Let's have a little fun. It's getting to the end of the season. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts.
Hey, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator. DeAndrea and Adam is on his way in. He's running a little bit late, but we're going to go ahead and get started without him. And
his New Year's resolution wasn't to be on time, I guess, right?
I guess, right. Well, it was dressed for success, but not necessarily show up on time, right? By the way, this is the first time in like 8 years where I've been in here and he wasn't quite in here yet, ready to go. Maybe it's because he didn't have another podcast this morning.
I think he's figuring out how to tie his tie.
Well, then we need more time. I'm going to show him. I've tied his tie for him literally every time we've gone to an event. Every time we've gone to an event. He comes over. He's like, can you tie my tie? I was like, sure, boss. We got it. Anyway, we're joined here with Alexander Rossi and Connor Daly. How are you guys?
Good, man.
Indy drivers.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You guys know the names. But you guys are somehow teamed up to do a TV show as well, not necessarily car related. We're going to get into the car stuff for sure, but let's talk about The Amazing Race. How did you guys, so The Amazing Race, this big competition TV show, I've seen it a few times. It seems pretty intense. You guys teamed up on this show. How did you guys end up pairing up on this?
Well, the Verizon IndyCar Series does an amazing job of kind of pushing us as drivers to different media outlets. And, our fellow competitor, James Hinchcliffe, was on Dancing with the Stars last season. Mm-hmm. So, they have a history of kind of doing this in the off season to help further our profiles and the sports profile. So they came to us and they asked if we were interested. And I had never really watched the show before. I had heard about it and knew about it, but didn't know really the details of it. And I was living with Connor at the time and known him for a really long time, and it just made sense to go try and do it with him.
So you guys were just roommates, and you happen to be, you guys are racing together and you're roommates. Are you teammates?
No. No, yeah, we're competitors.
Competitors, yeah.
We were this season.
Okay. So you guys were roommates, and then Indy said, hey, I've got this idea. We've talked to the producers of the show. This is going to be fantastic. You guys are going to team up. And I haven't seen the first episode yet. Like, it just aired.
Yeah,
and then what? Did they drop you out of a helicopter into Vietnam and, like, ready to go?
Oh, exactly.
That sounds
great.
Yeah,
we refought the war, basically.
Yeah.
The first episode was in Iceland.
Yeah.
So we left from New York, went to Iceland.
Because I know they're always, like, in wacky places. And I was just wondering, like, did you get the wacky place? Or you're like, you guys are doing San Francisco this year?
Well, I think, Iceland was awesome. Like, it wasn't, like, necessarily some gypsy destination where, you know, there was a bunch of crazy stuff that we had to do. It was just like, wow, this place is beautiful. Like, it was sort of, I guess it spoiled us because, you never know what might be next. But it was started off with a beautiful destination and some cool stuff. Like, I had to hang him out over a waterfall and stuff like that and try and tow him back in after he got a clue. So there was some cool stuff that we got to do episode one.
Yeah, it was.
And we made it through. We didn't get eliminated.
Yeah, which was good. I mean, it was a little bit of a like he alluded to, I mean, I was a little disappointed that Iceland was our first one, because obviously we can't say how far we went on the show, but the other destination that we went to was definitely not as great. So they spoiled us on round one for
sure. So just in format of the show, how many destinations do contestants go through throughout the season? Let's say
it's 12 episodes, but that doesn't mean there's 12 destinations.
That's what I'm asking. Yeah. Is in past seasons, do they do 6 destinations, 4 destinations?
It'll be like 10 to 12, I'd say.
Yeah, it's usually like at least 9 to 12 countries.
It's like 10 a lot
to 12.
Of travel.
It's I mean, we spent a month filming, and it's like, that's the longest part. You know, we just watched an episode that was trimmed down to an hour, and we're like, well, we spent like 14 hours in Iceland, and it was like there was so much stuff going on.
Actually,
and it's just boom, cut like
that. A month doesn't sound like enough time.
No, it wasn't, man.
To film a bunch of episodes.
No, we were in an airplane a lot, sleeping on airport floors. I mean, you're always on the go, and that's what makes the show so challenging, because obviously the farther you go, the more condensed it gets towards the end, and it's definitely a challenge. But I think us as racing drivers, we had a bit of an advantage on other teams because we're so used to the travel. Some of these teams have never left the United States before. So for us waking up in a different time zone, in a different hotel bed, like it doesn't really faze us.
You know, in competitive racing, with a lot of competitive sports, there's always – it's so competitive like when you're on the track. But for the most part, like – most of the people are friends with everybody. We're all supporting the same thing. Everybody loves racing. Everybody's having a good time. Everybody loves the fans that are out there. Kind of the same thing if you're playing baseball or whatever. That being said, after you guys do a show like The Amazing Race, are you still friends?
Yeah, man. Yeah,
is it worse now or is it better than before? You're like, I'm really sorry I dropped you.
I think it's the same, man.
Yeah. And,
I mean, all of us get frustrated. Like, both of us get frustrated by the same thing. So, like, if I was mad, he was mad. So, like, both of us were just like, there's just so many unknowns that you come across, and there's so many things that we've never done before that's, like, so far out of our comfort zone and just our realm of brain power that it was just like, oh, well, this sucks because we don't know how to do it at first, but no matter what, you have to do it. Like, because you got a prize on the line and you got to make, you know, got to make America proud and all your families and stuff like that.
It's not like he was miserable because it was 15 degrees in Iceland and it was cold and I was loving it. Like,
right. There was none of that.
Right.
It's 15 is miserable. No matter
it just sucked for both of us, or it was great for both of us. Right. Yeah. So, and that was the other interesting thing. You're completely cut off from all sort of the outside world.
You don't communication.
Have
no phone.
Nothing. Yeah. So the only person you're either...
Now a month sounds like a long time.
Yeah.
You can't talk to anybody
No. Like it was such a relief when you get to a hotel room and there was a channel in English.
Yeah, like one, like a television to see.
Yeah.
Because that's like other contact with, I don't know, the world.
Yeah. So it was like you either commiserate with that person or you celebrate with that person. So, I mean, we had many conversations just about the same thing.
So I kind of want to see a little bit if you guys have something. I kind of want to see what it looks like. And then we'll talk about this episode because it aired already.
Yeah.
But how does this work? Like, because you guys have a lot on the line as drivers as well. Do you have to go to your team owner and your sponsor and go, by the way, we're going to do the show. We're going to go to Iceland and some other wacky places, and we're going to hang from ropes, and it's going
to
be super cold.
You have to disappear without really telling people why. Like, obviously, you tell the team why.
Like, our owners knew, yeah.
But beyond that?
So the rest of the team are like, God, these dicks haven't shown up in a while.
Well, no.
Like, they never call in. They don't do anything.
Yeah, I mean.
They don't respond to my emails. I mean, come on.
A little bit like that. Like, the team had to tell, like, my main sponsor, Napa, like, he can't do any appearances, but we can't tell you why.
For
4 weeks.
And they're like,
he's on a fact-finding mission in life.
Yeah, I'm on a soul-searching adventure backpacking across Europe.
After like 30 days, you get an email from your publicist or manager, and they're like, by the way, Napa said don't cash any of their checks because they haven't seen you in a month.
Right.
So you got to be careful with that. Let's take a quick look at – this is what? This is like a teaser for the season, or is this a
– I believe this is the trailer for the season.
All right, let's take a look at this real quick.
I don't think.
I'm used to this because I put on race suits. So
it's exactly what he normally wears.
It's just another day at the office.
This looks dope!
I don't even know what I'm looking for.
There's an F right there. How about that right there?
The driver, he seems like he's been driving the off-roads of Iceland since he was a child. Every puddle he saw, he just slammed into it.
So we're watching you guys in a UTV roll around through some water. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just, you know, stuff like that. I mean, we wish to it. We, like, I wish I could have driven that myself. Like, sadly, they didn't give us the controls of that vehicle, sadly. But,
do you, though?
You know. Yeah, absolutely. That looked like that was
were
fun.
Were your hands not full enough trying to spell?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I struggled with that challenge.
First of all, the location does look nice.
Yeah,
it looks cold, but it looks.
Oh man, I will go back to Iceland
right
any day.
Yeah, yeah, but beautiful. The thing was,
but
like
with like some rally cars, yeah, and some heaters,
just like that again. Yeah,
yeah. yeah.
But I was soaking wet after that challenge, like literally head to toe drenched in, you know, freezing weather, and I, obviously there was no time to, you know, stop, but we just kept going. You just got to keep rolling. We jump back in our car, we're soaking wet, freezing, and then for the next 5 hours until we finish the leg of the race, you're just drenched.
Yeah.
Living the dream.
it seems like that you'd get sick.
Yeah.
No,
Well, somehow we survived, thankfully.
It was amazing that we didn't, I don't think we ever had...
You know, it's more of like a thing. It seems like you're going to get sick is when you're doing that, and then your immune system weakens, and then you get on a plane with a whole bunch of other people, and that's when it kicks in.
right,
but
yeah.
All right, that looks pretty crazy. So quickly tell us real quick, because the episode aired on Wednesday, and we're listening to this. Everybody's listening to this on Friday or after. So next Wednesday, you guys are going to be on again. What happened a little bit in that episode that we missed last night?
Are these the gay guys from The Amazing Race?
These are the guys, yeah.
They always have that gay couple. Hey, man.
I tell you
I'm
what.
I'm fine with it.
Right when they walked in, they said they were roommates before the event. So
we
like,
did get some of those assumptions.
Good to see you guys. Sorry, I'm late.
We've just been talking about The Amazing Race stuff. We didn't even get into the good car stuff yet. But
The Amazing Race, I got to say, I feel like that show's been nominated more than any other show for Emmys. I'm not sure how many they've taken home, but every single year that show gets an Emmy nod. So
it's because of amazing people like us.
Wow.
Yeah, look.
All right. Jeez.
The fact that those guys, and then Project Runway wins, and then I get pissed. That show sucks.
That's not a destination.
So should we?
Like
you want to talk? We're done with Amazing Race. You want to talk racing?
We are. We just wanted. We were just touching on what happened. The first episode aired this past Wednesday, and no real spoiler here because you could have already seen it. They made it through the first episode. We can't talk about how far they've gone after that. But there's a couple things in the episode. If there's that you,
yeah,
you
we ran around in the mud for a bit. We threw him out over a waterfall, and then drank a shot of vodka, and he had to drink fish oil, and then we finished fifth. So.
They had to do this for a month.
That's pretty much it, yeah.
Got to talk to this super hot, like, fit chick that probably could have beat up all of us. And then,
not probably. Definitely
could have. Like, we had ripped our heads off.
We have this weird relationship with vomiting, which is you spend most of your life trying not to vomit, but then there's a portion of your life where you're actually trying to get people to vomit. Like, oh, I'll give you $10. You eat this stick of butter.
Yeah.
I'll give you $10, dude.
Or that bed for like nobody can drink a gallon of milk.
Right.
You know?
I did that. We did it with a bunch of guys. Everyone just yak.
Yeah.
But why? Why wouldn't you?
It's entertainment. Modern entertainment. Oh, they tried to get us to do that, though, because like I took this shot of what's called Black Death or like fire water or something. And then we had to like run to the next destination. I consider myself an alcoholic beverage consumer, you know, as a male gentleman here, and I was going to die. I thought I was running, and my chest was on fire, and so that was probably the motivation, but it didn't happen.
It did for quite a few people.
Yeah, actually, some people did vomit. So
I think four people threw up when they got to the mat, which is amazing.
Yeah,
that's how you're going to train for the next driving season. You're going to take a shot of Black Death, and you're going to do 500 laps around.
So Indy, I mean Indy's not tomorrow, but it's coming up, right? It's
May, month of
April?
May,
Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah. I've been taking a a deep dive into Indy because I've been working on this Willie T. Ribbs documentary.
Oh, yeah. No way, that's awesome,
and it's really cool. And I had no idea about how deep it got into qualifying. The qualifying is kind of the crazy part. I mean, the race is, we all know about the race, but the qualifying, making the cut at Indy is pretty insane, especially if you don't have a lot of money to work with, especially if you don't have a whole lot of a backup car or money for a lot of backup engines and stuff like that. It's kind of a crazy story. The cut, the low rent, the guys that aren't big time sponsorship and whatnot, yeah. making the cut for just the field.
It was wild back in the day. I mean, there were 60, 70 cars that were trying to make the event, and you'd have guys, you know, guys were crashing. People were dying on the weekend and just, boom, putting another driver in another car just trying to make the field because that was the way to make money. You know what I mean? It was wild.
I think, let's see. So, Connor, your stepdad is Doug Bowles?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
I think he's in our documentary.
Probably.
He's a fresh-faced dad type or something.
He's president of the Speedway.
Find me a picture of Doug Bowles, and I'll say if we've interviewed. Pretty sure Doug Bowles is in our our doc. But and Alexander, you won in 2016 as a rookie.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Unbelievable. And the 100th running. Yeah, that's Doug Bowles. Yeah, he's in our
there he
yeah,
is. That's him.
He's in our documentary.
He just looked him up.
Yeah, he's a sweet guy.
Thanks.
He's a great man, yeah.
So, and then as Willie would tell me, everyone would go to Arizona and do a lot of testing and stuff like that before they ended up at Indy. But I'm not sure why Arizona.
It's because it's the only fair weather oval in the beginning of the year before May.
I mean, I see.
And they always used to say that if your car worked well at Phoenix, it would work well at Indy. So that was certainly what I remember. I don't think that applies now, though. No, not anymore. But in the back in the day, like when AJ and those guys, Mario, everyone would used to test at Phoenix because if you had a good car there, you'd have a good car at Indy.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, baseball going to Florida. You know, the Mets are in Florida. Everyone's in Florida. Just they need the weather. They need the environment. So when does the season start? What's the first race of the season?
St. Pete in beautiful Florida, early March. I think like second weekend of March or something. Something like that. We don't really pay that much.
And then we get out.
They just go where they tell them.
Yeah.
We get out to Long Beach in what, April?
Yeah, beginning of April. Yeah. Love Long Beach.
Yeah, Long Beach is great because of the event.
It's a highlight event for sure for us.
Is it because I would say to people all the time, you know, when they go you know, what's so cool about the Long Beach or doing like a celebrity race or something like that? I said, you can get a track day at Willow Springs for you and your seven jack-off buddies.
Yeah.
There's nobody in the stands. There's no Jumbotron. There's no Takati girls.
There's barely a bathroom.
There's barely a bathroom.
It's like, there's not a lot.
It's just you and your jack-off buddies in a spec Miata going in a circle. Like, it's fine. It's still fun, but it's not Jumbotron. It's not Miata. I mean, it's not Takati girls. Exactly. Like, it's not.
No, there's not people hanging on the balconies of the buildings and screaming with banners. And,
when you go down Shoreline, and you see the grandstands are filled with people. It's just it's an element that you could never buy at a track day.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. We love Long Beach.
And then you could walk and get lobster.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah. Or go to Hooters.
You could go to Hooters as well.
Is Long Beach one of the better? I mean, obviously Indy gets 200,000 people or more. But is Long Beach one of the better attended events on the Indy schedule?
I believe factually it's probably our second highest attendance. I think, you know, Indy's obviously 300,000 plus, whatever, like you said. And then Long Beach, I think over the weekend, is at least a six-figure attendance, which is just awesome.
Yeah, it's mid-100s. I think St. Pete's probably third.
Yeah. Right. It's just an event.
Yeah. And people like to party out here, you know what I mean? So that's a party.
Well, and on top of that, I mean, the street races are pretty badass. So, you're racing race cars through city streets. And, I mean, that's cool, right? I mean, no matter how the sport evolves or fan bases evolve, that's race cars on your commute to work.
So. Yeah, and the racing line, if you're on the racing line at Long Beach, you're just up against brick barriers, pretty much.
Like, exactly.
You're kind of up against them as you turn in and you're turning out. Mm-hmm. And if you're 6 feet away from the wall, then you're off the racing line. You got to be 10 inches from the wall, and then you're on the racing line on half the turns on that place. So that makes it definitely exciting.
Yeah, and it's the tightest turn in all of motorsport, too, the last hairpin there. I mean, that's, for us, that's, you know, it's like a 30-mile-an-hour corner, and then all of a sudden we're doing 186 down at the end of the straight. So
getting angry about that turn the other night, Mike. I mean, Matt, I don't know if I was just sitting around thinking about that.
Just getting angry, just randomly?
From your celebrity race experiences?
Well, because the thing about that goddamn hairpin at the end of the beginning of Shoreline is, if some asshole wants to dive in, they can dive in.
Yeah.
But they're not going to get out of it without putting you into the wall or putting themselves in a wall. And it's a kind of a, it's agreement.
Yeah.
It's an agreement that you have to have out there, which is everyone has to go left, swing out, and set up. If you want to be a dickhead and dive in, you can dive in, but you're cheating. You're fucking cheating, because then when you come out, the person who you're coming into now has to negotiate you and the fucking wall, and you throw everything off. And it's such bullshit, and it's like some kind of yardstick to measure people's personalities. Like, hey, look, everyone else is swinging out left. Who's ahead of me?
Yeah.
I'll just dive in, and then we'll see what happens in a second and three-tenths.
Well, usually what ends up in a huge pile, and then no one can race anymore because they've all just parked each other.
If you guys think it's tough in a couple of Indy cars.
My choice was you either get into an accident or you give the person room.
Exactly.
You have me diving in.
See, you think it's tough in Indy cars. You should try to Scion FRS against Wanda Sykes.
Second place in this goddamn race, and look what happens.
Did you get lunged?
Yeah, okay, fine. This is a great way for us to not finish the race and to let Alfonso Ribeiro go unchallenged for the next seven laps. You just dive, you just come way. Fuck that, Derek Torres. Like, fuck you. That's horrible driving. And sorry, you're a chick. No one wants to say anything. That's fucking horrible driving. You've driven this track 100 times. That's fucking bullshit. Show me that again. It makes me angry every goddamn time. Trying to come in second or even first in this fucking race, you dove in and you took us both out of the race.
I'm right there with you.
First off, hold on for a second. Those are momentum cars. If you don't get out of that, God, those things have 160 horsepower. Yeah. If you don't get out of that goddamn hairpin with some momentum, you will be 20 miles an hour slower at the end of that goddamn shoreline. And look at us. Play it slow. We're coming to a goddamn stop at the beginning of this. My car's now steering at the wall. I'm facing the wall because she couldn't stop cutting in on me. And by the way, Max Pappas, who's no slouch behind the wheel, is now coming up behind you. And now he's bumping me in the bumper because you couldn't take the fucking racing line.
Man.
Jesus Christ.
So who was this?
Dara Torres.
She's an Olympic swimmer.
She did it two laps in a row. Two fucking laps in a row. She did that and took us both out. And of course, Max Pappas is laughing like a madman. He's like, okay, these two idiots want to do this. I'll just fucking.
Of all people to respect lane protocol, you think a swimmer would
swimmer,
be
right?
Right?
Yeah.
I wonder if she hops lanes when she swims.
Well, I bet she did.
Man. Jesus Christ. Now, look, I get it. You'd like to be ahead of me. That's fine. Yeah. You have to find a place to pass. It's reasonable. You can't just dive in and take us both out times two goddamn laps in a row. I was just going down that shoreline, and now Max Pappas is banging on me from behind. He was 100 feet behind me, and now he's just banging on me.
Can you tell me how you really feel about it?
I'm pissed. I was thinking about it the other day. Like, it had me. I hope Alfonso Ribeiro buys Derek Torres a fucking Winnebago, a fully loaded tour bus, because all we did is just let him go. All we did while the rest of us just sat around and tried to get out of the way of Derek Torres. God damn it. It's horrible driving. The fuck?
What a time.
So, guys, be careful at Long Beach.
Obviously.
On that turn,
what do you do when someone dives in? That's bullshit,
well,
right?
I mean, we're pretty respectful. I haven't had anyone lunge me there, but I've seen it happen before.
I don't think we have
before.
The turning radius to pull it off.
Yeah, that's the problem. If one of our cars, like, tries to send it in there, you don't come out the other end because the steering wheel doesn't go that far. So you just, if you try to enter that corner from the right side... Yeah. That's okay. You're done. Like that's
it. You go straight.
You go straight.
That's not a thing. Yeah.
And, my car and was take facing. With
you. Well, you would.
Yeah.
You understand if shoreline was a T, my car would have been the top, just facing. I was actually facing more toward the left than to the right at a certain point, trying to get out of her way.
Did you scrape the wall there, or no? Did you just miss it?
God,
I think the second time I did it, I was like,
look, my car is not even facing the right direction.
Yeah.
The fuck are we going to go down the straightaway? What room? I mean, what kind of horrible driving is this? And Max Pappas is like laughing his ass off.
Why didn't
you
turn more?
I don't want to be spun out. I want to be taken out of the race.
Three wide. This is the rest of it.
Yeah.
This is chaotic. So where
well,
did you?
Of course, it's chaos.
Where did you end up finishing?
Fourth.
Oh man,
jeez,
that's not bad.
Wonder.
Yeah, yeah, but nobody cares about fourth.
Nobody cares about.
Sorry, I just you know, it's
just
like
off the podium.
It's off the podium. Yeah. You're just sitting with everybody else.
You don't get the tate girls and champagne.
No. Now join the rest of the losers in the crowd.
Like everybody else comes over, like I need the first three people to follow me. Everybody else have a nice day. Right. And you're
been, no, but I've been there a lot, so don't worry about it.
Yeah.
All right. Let me tell you about Amazon Automotive. I'm put myself in a better mood. That was one. Do you have the other? The lap right after that, or right before? It happened to me two. It was two consecutive laps.
Yeah, that one was the worst offense because I remember I was taking photos of you at the other end, and I had to like step back. I thought you were just gonna go right through the fence and into me.
Well, pardon me for not wanting to take us both out of the race by staying on the goddamn racing line, right?
Yeah, we like Chris. Don't take him out.
I like Dara too. I just wish she'd drive a little more respectively. That's all. A little more respect. More respect.
This is what we talked about the first half of the show was these guys are friends, but on the track, what does it do? Like, Dara's a sweetheart, but on the track, mortal enemy.
Well, here's what I've learned from being a boxing coach in a past life, which is some people can be however they are outside of the ring or off the track or whatever, and then once the switch gets thrown, it's like the switch gets thrown. Like, they're almost like blackout drunks. Like,
yeah.
They don't even know. They wake up in a hospital bed chained to a hospital bed with a cop saying that they have no idea what happened. It's like the switch gets thrown.
It's Stallone putting his hat on backwards and over the top. When he's
That's
like,
right.
It's the switch.
It's exactly.
The switch, and then he's arm wrestling for
it's exactly,
glory
it's
and
exactly
money.
That.
The like, red
they
mist.
Can't, they cannot yeah. stop themselves. Like, if you get in the boxing ring and they go, just spar, they can't. They'll throw that haymaker every time. Yeah. Like, they can't stop
Don't you
it.
Love that, though? I love seeing stuff like that. Like,
it's great. It's great for the spectators. Yeah. It's not great when you're in second place and you're trying to stay
victim,
with somebody
yeah.
and you're coming to a stop at the hairpin and you get to the end. I remember like multiple conversations about here's how you hit shoreline. I mean, you guys have some speed and some horsepower, but even for you guys, but in these little pea shooters, you got to get around that hairpin and get out of it to get a launch down shoreline. Otherwise, you're just not going to be carrying any speed when you get to the end. So that was like a lot. I probably jinxed myself by thinking about that too much. But practically coming to a stop at the end of, you know, at the hairpin is not a way to get down shoreline.
Well, no, you're in fourth.
No, and thank God. But, you know, you have those slouches like Max Pappas and Al Unser Jr.
Yeah.
And Rod Millen behind you. So those guys have so little wheel time that they're novices. They don't know when to pass.
Yeah.
Those guys are laughing their ass off going, what are you two
Unser.
Doing up here?
Butcher Box, the best. Please treat yourself in 2020 to some Butcher Box. It's just one more thing you don't have to think about, man. I love me some Butcher Box. Everything. The bacon is great. The ground beef is fantastic. The chicken is great. The salmon is great. It's all there. It's all good. Even the pork chops are like the old school pork chops, like you remember from your childhood, not the weird dry white ones that you were eating in the 90s. High quality meat sent right to my home. No antibiotics, no hormones. Each one comes with between 9 and 11 pounds of meat. Enough for 24 individual meals. You won't be without anymore. That's the thing. You'll never have that thing where you have to go make a run or the store's not open or what are we going to do? Or a couple friends came over and want to barbecue something up or some steaks. It's just there. They got an offer. They got 2 pounds of ground beef and 2 packs of bacon free, plus a $20 off your first box. Go to butcherbox.com/carcast or enter the promo code carcast to check out. Get this deal and you'll never go back. You'll be done with your protein. Butcherbox.com/carcast and get the 2 packs of bacon and the 2 pounds of ground beef free and $20 off.
All right, Chris, do we have any questions that folks are posing?
You know, talking about those guys in that race, Unser, and I think it was Vassar. I think Vassar was
Jimmy
in it. He was in the race with
Vassar.
You as well, and you were talking to him, and he's like, yeah, when you get into this turn, there's like cones or there's lines on the wall, and he's like, when you see that line, then you start braking. Mm-hmm. And then I think you tried it in one of the practice laps. You're like, I totally missed that turn. I saw the fourth line. He goes, yeah, I was wrong. That fourth line is way too late. It's like, if you hit that light, it's way.
No, he was like.
He's like, it's way.
Vassar's. Way yeah. Late. Well, Vassar's a funny guy. But Vassar's a fast guy.
Oh, yeah.
He is the fastest in one of those Scions around that track. And the reason I know is because I did a race with him a few years ago, and he was faster than, I think, Tanner Faust was in that race. Mm-hmm. Steve Millen was in that race, and he was faster than both of them. And, of course, Tanner's a very fast guy, and so is Steve. And then I ran into who are we talking to? Oh, we're talking to who's our favorite? I'm just blanking out on the guy. Who won it the year I won the pros? It was Rutledge.
Oh, Rutledge Wood.
Rutledge Wood. And he said to me, no, baby Al Unser Jr., he's the fastest around this track. Because he did it when he did his race, and then I had Vassar. And I said, I think Vassar's faster. And he said, no, believe you me. This is like one of those things, like, everyone thinks they're dad's dick is the biggest, you know? So
is that a thing?
Yeah, it's a thing.
Hey, wow.
Out here in LA, it is.
Okay.
So we, but then they both showed up for the All-Star race. And Vassar was on the pole.
Vassar was on the pole.
So
the guy announced in that race that you did.
No, but Vassar told me. So I knew he was the fastest guy around the track. So I was like, at the end of Shoreline, I start braking like on the first or second cone or something like that. And he's like, what? No, you'd go down to the last one.
Yeah.
Go down to the 100-foot mark. I'm like, I'm breaking at 500. He's like, oh, no.
No.
You're way, way too early. So I said, okay. So I went out and practiced, start breaking it like probably the 200.
Yeah.
Flat spotted the tire, like just locked up, smoke's coming out. Got a flat spot. They had a shortage of tires, remember? They were like, all right, you got to drive that car now with the flat spotted.
They had
tire.
Like another set, but they needed for race day. They can't just go and get
then
new
I was
tires.
Like, hey, Jimmy, I broke at like 200. It was, and he's like, oh, yeah, I was way off.
I was way off.
Yeah.
Go he was back quoting the IndyCar brake marker.
Right.
That's about it.
When they did the race and Al Unser was in there, the announcer guy during the race goes, there's Al Unser Jr., it's little Al. The guy goes, not so little anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
All right, do we have the second time I was thrown off the racing line for Christ's sake?
Oh, the fountain.
Oh, the fountain. Oh, that's the second one? Oh, that's the first one.
No, that was the second one. Same thing.
It's the exact same move. Two laps in a row.
It worked the first time.
That's why Max Pappas is next to me going down the straightaway. or Baby Al or Little Al or whatever.
One of them. Baby Al.
Jesus Christ.
I got to say, though, considering that, your exit wasn't that bad.
Well, I tried to salvage what I could, you know.
Yeah.
Got a few laps.
You
got to
do what you can, yeah.
That's a fun race, man. It always looks great.
God, they got to.
We watch it. Like, I genuinely watch that because it's like very
entertaining. That's a fun one to watch, right? It's a fun one to watch.
My dad did it like 20 years ago.
And actually, I want to talk about your dad because your dad has quite a bit of racing as well. And you said he did Le Mans, right?
Yeah, Le Mans, Sebring.
Yeah. All right. First, let me tell you guys about Geico.
Oh.
Everybody's got a to-do list. You know, you're dropping off your dry cleaning, you're picking up some milk, and now you can save hundreds of dollars on car insurance to that list. And you don't need to drop off or pick up anything. You just go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. So if you need some extra money in your pocket, you want to get tickets to the start of Indy, you want to get some car parts, you want the extra money, well, this is the most rewarding to-do you can do today. Go to geico.com.
What did your dad drive at Le Mans?
He drove the Jag, the silk-cut Jag.
Oh, with the weird rear fender.
Yeah, it was like the entire body was like one
aero piece. Yeah. They had the purple and white.
There it is, yeah.
Silk cut Jag. Those were very, I don't know what those were, GTP or something?
Yeah, it was the GTP category back in the day. And he drove the 22, but I always remember a story he told because they did 253 miles an hour at night and 249 in the day. So they went faster at night.
Air was thinner, huh?
Well, you can't see the trees. You don't feel afraid.
Yeah, exactly. But he looked over at one point going down the straight and the cockpit was full of fuel. And wow. So they had a fuel leak, and if he would have hit the brake and had one spark, the thing would have gone up like a bomb.
Wow.
And they were leading Le Mans with like 3 hours to go, and the thing was basically
it would have been
a bomb.
Early 90s?
That was probably late 80s. I think it was like, because he did Sebring for Nissan, the GTP program, in like 90, 91. He won both those years, and then just before that, he's with Jag. So I want to say like 89, 88, 89-ish.
Those GTP, they're up on a banner somewhere at my shop. I think those.
I saw a suit out here. GTP is that a Nissan GTP suit or which one is that?
Yeah, well,
which one's hanging over here?
That suit came with the Z car with the 90, what is it, our 94 Z car.
Okay, yeah.
I think maybe it's.
I tried to read the name on it, but I couldn't quite see it. It looks because my dad's got one. So
go make it out. Yeah, it was like a Team Nissan. So Clayton Cunningham built these Z cars. There were Millen drove one, and Johnny O'Connell drove one, and
John Morton
drove one. Or they drove the same one, or they one of them won Le Mans in its class. Daytona, I think the one Millen has won Daytona and won Le Mans and didn't win Sebring. I'm not sure. I have the one that won Sebring outright.
What year?
94.
Okay, right. That was just a little bit after my name.
And your dad was driving the GTP, which was sort of, it's Johnny O'Connell's suit.
Oh, okay, right on.
Oh.
Yep.
Send him a tweet. Tell him I'll sell it back to him.
Yeah. I was just going to say that.
Tell him it doesn't fit me and there's no real name recognition. So $6,000 and it's all his.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Or I'll just put up on eBay and he's free to bid. Tell him he's free to bid.
Yeah.
I like when people tell you, you can bid.
You're free to bid. You can just bid on it. Okay.
I'm selling what's in this storage locker. Yeah. You can bid.
Well, it's like those whiskey auctions where you have the right to go and bid on whiskey.
Yeah. They have whiskey auctions?
Wow. In Indianapolis, that's a
thing,
man.
I thought it's called a Trader Joe's. we need to auction
it's a Dollar Tree, actually.
Yeah. It's a Dollar Tree?
Do you guys feel...
The whiskey's called whiskey.
We're off.
It's in a plastic bottle.
Yes, with a white and black label.
It's got like a flexi bottle. A
squeeze bottle.
A sport top.
So you can jog with it. I don't want to be judged at the gym.
Yeah.
Do you guys feel like what's in those storage when they auction off the storage facilities? I feel it's illegal not to let people know what's in those things. What part of life works that way? Shouldn't that be illegal?
Well, like those Storage Wars TV shows?
Yeah, they go, well, no, we can't tell you what's in this thing.
Yeah.
And you just go ahead and bid at whatever you think.
You
and
open the door and you got a few seconds to just make an offer.
I'd like to know. Why is it legal?
What if inside the storage container was super illegal stuff and then you were the owner of
contraband.
It?
Oh, yeah.
Are you on the line for that?
I don't think you have to take delivery.
Oh. Remember when...
I think you could deny delivery.
Got it. Yeah.
Somebody got...
Of your pound of meth,
famously,
right?
Yeah. Somebody... I think Paris Hilton let hers lapse, and they auctioned it off, and then somebody found like a barrel of herpes medicine or something.
Oh, boy.
In there.
A barrel?
Do they come in barrels?
You just put your whole body in it. Yeah. It's a dip.
It's a dip, like a parts dip. It could have been a 5-gallon bucket. No, you got to look that up, Chris, but I swear.
Look up barrel of Paris Hilton herpes medicine.
No, she had... Let's not make fun of the young lady. What I'm saying is
she just got engaged.
She just got engaged.
Oh, good for him.
What I'm saying is
you can only catch it twice.
She let her thing lapse. They auctioned it off. I think somebody found out it was hers or whatever, or they knew before, and they found some things in there that of a personal nature.
Oh,
yeah.
That's all I'm saying. Huh. You can look that up. All right, Chris, do we have a question for us, or should we just talk some more GTP Nissan stuff?
I wouldn't mind talking about that, too. I also have a listener question.
Hold it for 1 second. Right. Those cars are making having a renaissance. We saw...
Really?
I think we saw one down at Amelia Island this last year, right?
That was the first race car I was ever pictured in, 1992. I was born in 91 in December, and then my dad retired in 92 after Sebring. But I'm in the cockpit in his arms, a little GTP. See, that was the first race car I was ever in.
Cars, wow. Red, white, and blue, very iconic, and did a lot of winning.
Yeah.
And so did the judge of that class.
Weren't you a judge of the Japanese race car class at Amelia Island?
Yeah, I was of that class. Here's how judging works. Hey, Tommy Kendall, what do you think? I like this car. Great, let's go with that. You want a beer? I'm getting a beer.
I love Tommy. What a good guy.
That's how judging works over at Amelia. Yeah. You just stand next to Tommy Kendall and ask him how he's voting.
Yeah.
And put me down for that, too.
Peter Brock, do you want a beer or not? Peter Brock was one of the other judges. So when it comes to like design or aerodynamics, you just...
I just stood right between those two guys.
What do you think, TK? Like, design works, wings functional. Tommy's like, it has a lot of race history. Like, let's drink.
Yeah, those cars, in a weird way, not even a weird way, but just in a way, more complicated than a modern car. Just like, I think if you looked at a MiG-22 from the Soviet Union from 1969, it would be more complicated than a new jet would be because computers have like taken over everything. I mean, when you get up on those cars, when you put your head in one of those cars, you're like, oh my God, because everything's a big box and wires everywhere. I mean, it's insane that they got those things to run for endurance races.
Yeah, for long distances, and they were going so fast. Like, they were just... It was unbelievable, the speed. They don't even do that speed today. I mean, barely the Porsche 919s and stuff. I mean, it's incredible.
Bringing up the speed on the Indy cars for today, what engines are they running and how much horsepower are they making? Is there a change in aero for this coming season?
Oh, there are a bunch of Paris Hilton diaries. There are 18 diaries that recount sexual dalliances with celebrity and celebrity encounters. And
that's the kind of stuff you write down and put in your storage facility.
Obviously. Right.
Yeah, he got it all for $2,775 and then believed that he would be able to sell them for about $5 million, and then after further review, believed that the bidding could start at $20 million. But he said he'd offer Paris a discount.
Nice.
She's welcome to bid.
Yeah, she's welcome to bid. All right, sorry. Speeds.
So entering turn one at Indianapolis, I mean, you'll hit kind of 240, I'd say.
Yeah.
And the average speed in qualifying is 231.
Wow, so fast.
But yeah, I mean, it's a twin turbo V6. It's been the same kind of engine that they've had for six, seven
Who's
years?
Making the engine?
Honda and Chevrolet.
Honda and Chevy, yeah.
And to this year, 2018, is the first year actually in quite a while where we're going back to a spec aero kit. So for the past 4 years, Honda and Chevy have each had their own aerodynamic package.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's all being made by Dallara, which is the car manufacturer.
So everyone's going to be driving the same chassis, same aero.
Correct. Same tire.
Just one of the two engines.
Correct, yeah.
Now, there was issues with Honda engines last year.
So last year, from 2015 and 2016, we had a pretty big power deficit. And so they worked relentlessly. And coming out of the box in 17, we had some pretty big upgrades.
They had some serious power.
Why is it that... everyone's always sort of looking for parity in racing. You know,
right.
If someone's winning too much, they'll add some weight to the car, say you got to turn down the boost or whatever it is. You got the same chassis, you got the same aero package, they got the same everything. Why not one engine and then it's complete and utter parity? It seems weird just to have the two manufacturers or alternate each year or whatever it is.
Because, IndyCar still wants to be on the cutting edge of development. And that's how they stay relevant. Formula One, for example, is truly a manufacturer's championship, but IndyCar wants to have some of that as well. And we see it with NASCAR, right? You have different manufacturers in NASCAR, but it's the same car. And so this is a way for manufacturers to showcase their equipment and their R&D and what they can produce in terms of an engine while still having equality among teams.
So if there's one player, then we end up like the Soviet Union. We got to have Chevy and Honda, and they have to constantly be nipping at each other's heels to try to improve and wring out that much more horsepower and reliability.
I mean, we're even trying to get a third manufacturer, too, because, then that could even provide more cars for the series. Because right now, since having only two manufacturers, there's only a certain amount of engine leases that are available because, you can only produce so many engines, especially if you're constantly upgrading them. So, if there's a third manufacturer, then you could possibly even add more teams and cars because they want to get behind certain people, which would be cool.
The rules, is it? Displacement is one of the rules.
Oh, yeah.
The other one is like intake, inlet.
Everything is spec,
yeah,
right, in terms of the regulations. What is open amongst manufacturers is more in the software. I mean, there is some hardware stuff you can do, but it's limited. You're not changing
not a lot of architecture size.
And they have to get it improved or approved as well. Like if the engines are going to be upgraded, all right, well, hey, this is the only area that you can upgrade, and so they just try and push those.
So
small
like
areas.
Like in 17, Honda found a lot of advantages in like kind of spark advance and alternators.
Uh-huh.
It's not like
right
they were completely redoing the head or the bottom yeah end.
Right. The 240 miles an hour is
yeah
absolutely breathtaking on a closed circuit that way.
What you guys and should
I don't,
try.
I don't think Le Mans, now that they put the chicane in the Mulsanne straight, I don't think they're getting past 220 or 215 yeah or something. I'd be kind of curious. Hey, Max Spana, what's the top speed at Le Mans as of last year?
I bet it's like 248.
248?
No,
but with the chicane?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Because I thought they put that chicane in there to bring it down.
I mean, they do have like 1,000 horsepower, so that is a lot. But
and
I
they
don't
have
know
DRS. And
yeah, I'm not sure. I don't know
Chris,
if it's that big.
All right, we got
Chris
248 here.
I'm going lower than 248.
I'm going 225.
225.
Well,
Matt, hold on. Matt.
Because even F1 in Mexico City is getting to like mid-230s.
Really?
Yeah.
F1?
Because the altitude is so high.
Oh.
All right, yeah, 233.
I'm going to go I'm swimming now. 237.
253.
No, man. That chicane
really
did not slow them yeah down.
They're really
that
fast
much. That is really yeah fast.
They did that in the 90s, so I guess they yeah can do it now.
Wow.
Oh, my God. I think Sam Posey told me that his Ferrari 512 in like 1972 was doing like 248 down that Mulsanne straight.
And I mean, the Can-Am yeah cars were unbelievable. Yeah. Yeah. They're like 1,400 horsepower with like no brakes.
On like bias ply tires. And
it's a 1,400 yeah horsepower skateboard, man.
Yeah.
You look at the brakes. You just look at the disc. They're not even vented.
No.
They may be cross-drilled, but they're just one thin half-inch piece of steel.
Yeah.
Like, it's not even – there's so much single piston caliper in front. Like, just nothing in the brake department.
And who – were we talking to Parnelli Jones about the turbine car?
Oh, wow, yeah.
Oh, yeah, we talked to him about the turbine car.
That's yeah, and he said there was a whole nother issue because he was here with his son, PJ.
Wait, we either talked to Parnelli or Parnelli Jones
and Granatelli.
Granatelli. Yeah. Both of them. But I think Parnelli was talking about driving it and braking and everything was completely different. Like it just he would go fast because he wasn't allowed to use his brakes.
Because
that thing wouldn't shut off. It would just go. You know,
yeah,
it's a crazy,
that was a wild era.
It was a wild era.
God bless those guys for working it out.
Yeah.
All right, let's see. What else do we got? You got a question from the audience over there?
And if anybody would like to write in a question, Adam and Matt, go to carcastshow.com, click the contact page, and let us know what you want to know. So this is Kyle. He writes from Nebraska. He's 26. Hey, guys. Regarding the Newman Porsche 935, mm-hmm, I was wondering if you had or ever will consider converting the livery back to the white and rainbow Apple computer sponsored configuration. I just thought that since it was the only race car sponsored by Apple computers, and since they're slightly more prominent than Hawaiian Tropic these days, it could potentially have implications on the valuation of the car. Do you agree with this? Is reverting livery even something people do? Let me know your thoughts, Kyle.
But this is a good question because we've had a million conversations about it. And
I've talked to Matt more about this than I've talked about my kids to my wife, because I prioritize.
Yeah.
You know, the kids will land on their feet, but what about the car? Who's going to look out for the car? Yeah. What about the future of the car?
Well, the kids are going to get that goddamn thing one day, so might as well figure out.
Is that Apple livery? That's the one Bob Rahal drove?
Yeah. The same car.
Yeah. Same car, just different livery.
I'll probably just go off the Snake River Canyon Thelma and Louise style before I hand that thing over to those snot-nosed kids. Kim won't even drive a stick. It's bumpy inside, Daddy.
Yeah, it's loud.
It's so loud.
It's so loud. It's hot.
Where are we going to put our comfort dog? We got a comfort pet. We got our therapy pet.
Yeah.
Kids these days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a fiberglass allergy.
Is this a gluten-free car? Somebody was eating peanuts in here.
What year was this painted? I can smell the solvents. okay, so everyone's welcome to their opinion, and then I will tell you mine. I have a Paul Newman-centric collection. So for me, if you removed Paul Newman completely from the equation, there's a greater chance of going over to the Apple livery. But the fact that the car, the biggest race is Le Mans.
Yeah.
I mean, pardon me, indie guys, but what I'm saying, for terms of a car's value, the holy grail is anything that won at Le Mans from the 50s and 60s. You know, any Ferrari, Jaguar, Aston Martin, anything that won at Le Mans in the 60s or the 50s or the 70s is worth kajillions of dollars. So Le Mans is kind of what you want to try to stay connected to.
I think the car is most valuable in its Le Mans Paul Newman livery.
That is true. But that being said, the K body on it, the Kremer body on it, and the Apple livery is awesome looking on that car, and it would be one of a kind and completely a showstopper
right
wherever you went. And for that reason, Matt and I have been talking about doing a recreation and having a tribute car or clone car that I've decided would be okay for me to campaign at every major event.
Because you own the real car.
Because I own the real car.
Right? There's got to be nice. Some credit given, right? Like, yeah. There's other clone cars out there, but they don't own the real car.
And we also have probably might be able to summon a body part or two in my vast catalog of extras that came with the car.
Yeah.
So we could actually say that part of Houdini's wand.
Original nose, original wing, or something like that.
Something. There's a wing back there that could pass for the K-wing and may have been. It's hard to tell with all. But yes, Bobby Rahal drove it that way. And it ran at Le Mans in its Apple livery, but it broke or something like that.
Right.
I don't know. What do you guys think?
Graham Rahal, actually, I just saw this recently. Did you guys see? He got his dad like a classical bicycle that was painted like that Porsche. It's
really
cool.
That.
Yeah,
it's painted like the Apple.
Yeah, it's like the Apple livery with Apple on it, and it's like it looks almost exactly like the car. And I was like, that's actually a really creative gift idea.
That's a good
like,
creative.
He's a good boy.
Graham is in our Newman film.
Oh, yeah.
He was in the Newman documentary.
And also, it ran with a cool livery, and it won Daytona outright with Brian Redman.
That's
and Bobby Rahal driving it. It's a blue with
dark,
yellow
blue,
and red or whatever. Very cool. So the question is doing the clones, and then the problem with the clone is a clone of that car, like a real 935 clone.
Yeah, there it is. Yeah,
we're looking at the bicycle.
Oh, the bicycle's cool.
Yeah,
that's a cool. It's got motorized and everything. Yeah. That's a good guy. But the clone is $300,000-$400,000 to make. Like if you're talking about making a real 935 clone
to race,
it's $100,000 engine in that thing. Like you can't just get a small block GM crate engine and
no, and you're not going to just go buy a Porsche and wrap it. Just go buy like the brand new 911 and wrap it.
Just put some vinyl on it.
Yeah. But it would be, I totally agree, be awesome to see that car out. It'd be awesome to see that car at Monterey Historics or
it'd
Rennsport
be great to
or
photograph the two together, the real car in the Hawaiian Tropic livery with the Apple
to
clone.
To the fan who's asking the question, I think the consensus is it should be in the Hawaiian Tropic livery, but I respect the question, and we shall be working on it, and I think we should build a really, really nice, faithful recreation
and
clone.
The only caveat to that is if Apple wants to send money, then done. Then done. Like, we'll just switch it over.
Easy.
Yeah.
For, you know.
Yeah, we can be bought, Apple.
Yeah. That's like, I just want to make sure that you knew.
For like 3 to 5 million.
Like we can.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Just to change it. We're not giving a car. Just to change it.
We'll keep the car.
We'll keep the car.
All right.
Castrol Edge, stronger under pressure. Engines can lose up to 10% of performance due to friction. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium transforms under pressure to keep the metal parts from rubbing and robbing. Three times.
Crazy.
Stronger than leading full synthetic against viscosity breakdown. It is Castrol. Castrol Edge, baby. Get that Edge formula out there and take care of your automobile.
All right, guys, let's see. What can we plug for you? Alexander Rossi.
Look at this photo.
Oh, hey, wait a minute. That's at Indy?
That's you, yeah.
That's me at Indy. That's us at Indy. I'm looking at a picture of us at Indy.
Jesus, yeah. Were you guys going on a date?
Oh, yeah, it was right before the race. He was my date to the event.
We both wore suits.
We both wore driving suits.
I had a grueling half a lap with Mario Andretti sitting in front of me.
In the tandem car?
In the tandem car with like the turbo wasn't working right or something. Like Mario was getting pissed.
Was he just like laughing and eating spaghetti and meatballs and be like, ah?
No, he wants to push. Like he's always competitive. He's driving that two-seater and he's crazy, still on it.
He was pissed.
Yeah.
And I was
like, this car's slow.
I was like, the most... part of life that I'm like most interested in is like the part where you show up and you get down to the track and they're like... what size helmet do you wear? And I'm like, I don't know. And they're like, oh, well, maybe we have one that fits. And I'm like, or you could have sent an email last week and I could have provided you with information.
I could have brought my own, yeah.
We did a Trans Am race last year and I got there and the team owner's like, you got a radio in your helmet? I'm like, no. And he's like, you don't? I'm like, no.
Still don't.
Oh. You need a radio in your house. Like, put it in an email and let us know a couple of days before. Yeah. We could probably procure a radio for my helmet. But
bet you can get that on Amazon.
Nice. Way to do it, man. AlexanderRossi.com is where you go. And ConnorDaily.net. Is that true?
I guess, yeah.
That'll work. That'll work as well. Anything else? We'll be, The Amazing Race, of course, new episodes every Wednesday, 8 p.m. on CBS, and we will always be watching that because it's such a fantastic show. And you can go to AdamCarolla.com, find out me doing live shows or Corolla drinks or any of that kind of stuff. And what about you, Matt? What do you got?
You know, we're doing Shift and Steer, so check out that podcast on the Podcast One app and Adam Carolla app, and follow me on all my social media. It's all at Motorator.
So until next time, it's Adam for Alexander, Connor, and Matt saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.